And that's
hello, hello. This is Fernando Fiore, El Presidente, and you are listening to the Mouths of the South podcast on VerySouthTucker.com. Yole.
This is the Mouths of the South podcast. Matt Doyle joining us now on the Mouths of the South podcast.
And Alexi Lalas joins us right now, bringing you the best coverage of Atlanta United FC.
Paul Tenorio joining us now. Kristen Hennage on the Mouths of the South podcast.
The president of Atlanta United FC, Darren Eels.
Happy to have Doug Robertson on the Mouths of the South podcast, AJC writer for Atlanta United. The biggest names and exclusive interviews on the Mouths of the South podcast.
They'll do it again soon.
My pleasure. Thanks, guys. Really appreciate you having me on.
Let's go.
Oh, yeah. I don't know if I've ever been more excited to be starting off an episode of the Mouths of the South podcast right here on VerySouthTalker.com. Sam Franco, Eric Quintana, along with you.
But we have never had an attorney general who put his professional life, put his entire future in the hands of the Russian ambassador.
I just think the soccer shops are funny.
A week.
That is true.
Game day.
Whatever you want to call it. Match day. You could have stepped up and said, Atlanta United kicks off tonight at 7:30 over at Bobby Dodd. No more sleep. No more sleep leading up to this day, March 5th this year.
He is live
I'm
to the American
ecstatic,
people.
Ecstatic, and I want to give a special shout-out to Term of Collision Surgeons for having a cool little get-together crew house last night. You and I were there.
Even
and
though
as was Alexi Lalas,
on the
cool
left,
run into
this dramatic
Alexi.
Reversal.
And yeah, we had a blast. I might have had a little bit too good of a time. But, But we are extremely happy as soon as you and I wrap up in the year, we will be heading over and mingling with all of the people that are tailgating right now. I've already got a few that I've got to head to some of my friends are tailgating with varsity.
No one in the media is quite sure how to handle President Trump's explosive charges yesterday, given the lack of evidence
and
the fact that he personally blamed his predecessor. Now, during the
uproar
over Jeff Sessions, who recused himself of any investigation over his previously undisclosed contacts with the Russian ambassador, President Trump tweeted this. Terrible. Just found out that Obama had my wires tapped in Trump Tower just before the victory. Nothing found. This is McCarthyism. Also, how low has President Obama gone to tap my phone during the very sacred election process? This is Nixon.
So you'll see like a bunch of people
analyze the coverage of this increasingly murky story. Aaron McPike, White House correspondent for Independent Journal Review. Kenny Pavlich, editor at townhall.com and a Fox News contributor. And Michael Tomasky, columnist for the Daily Beast.
All I've got to say is,
how should the media treat these presidential tweets about
why could not be more
incredibly strong
it was
language
like Christmas Eve
when the President of the United States so far has offered no evidence?
It was a different level of excitement.
You have to figure out why he said what he said. Where is the evidence? And I think that's what you're seeing from a number of news organizations going after the story. What was it that made Donald Trump tweet that? Now, in the tweet that you just showed, he said just found out. When did he find out, and what did he find out?
From Dirty right. South Some soccer, of this is tied from, to past news stories. Katie, we'll get into that in a moment. But as I said, it seems murky, here. And I think the media's
it's all kind of culminating
well,
into this day.
President's just trying
where,
to distract
you know, we have
from,
over
let's say, the
credentials media members
except he's
at
distracting
the
in a direction
game,
that takes
Bobby
us back
sold
to
out,
the whole question of Russia and the Trump campaign.
I think that the president is, as you mentioned, talking about
I'll say this later
when he finds out just now. But
this is going
to
be one of the
more getting context about maybe when this would have happened.
Today,
there were reports from last summer
on the
of the Obama Justice Department
you know,
and the FISA court asking for a warrant to go into Trump Tower and observe a server there.
And
there were questions about Paul Manafort's involvement with the Russian government. So there is some context that needs to be provided. On the other hand, I think that we have to put the media in a position where they can remind people of what the Obama administration really did. I mean, it's not uncommon that the Obama administration went after their political enemies with the use of the government. Not forget that the Obama Justice Department collected phone calls and emails of reporters and news executives. They also had the IRS go after Tea Party groups. So this is not something that
is
out of the question. But the President of the United States, Donald Trump,
does
have an obligation to provide proof that he's going to make such a clear,
everybody
has
come together
but such a
to make this happen. Arthur Blank, if anyone, is the most responsible.
Michael,
I think that, you know, Terminus Legion, Footy Mob, Resurgence Faction, all of these groups have done such a phenomenal job of building the hype and getting everything ready.
And run by
this
Bannon.
Really
and,
was a collective effort of a bunch of people going all the way back to April 16, 2014, and even before then.
Race questions for you.
For a city that has been waiting for this moment for a long time. And I think
presidents before they said something like that would want to talk to
the FBI,
would want to talk to Justice Department lawyers, would want to talk to somebody official and try to find out the official thing. Trump doesn't roll that way. We know
that
already.
It's something that has been building for so long.
One of the oldest adages in the American political journalism business is the president says it,
even before they've
picked
the ball. And I know we've had some
tweeted
it.
It's news. It needs to be covered.
It's just been nuts, the groundswelling of support
that
Atlanta United has.
I saw most of it included.
Right.
All that.
One of the questions is,
it's weird because we have
FBI
factual evidence of what
the National Security
Court
in the course of an investigation involving Russia. We actually don't even know whether that request was granted. But
with tangible evidence of
a spokesman for Barack Obama,
at the same time, I have no idea what
saying neither President Obama nor any White House official ever ordered surveillance on any U.S. citizen. Any suggestion otherwise is simply false.
No idea what to
and Aaron Sean Spicer, the press secretary, tweeting just about 10 or 15 minutes before the Sunday shows began today. That the reports about this, what he calls potentially politically motivated investigations, are very troubling. A president would like the Hill Intelligence Committees to expand their investigation to include this.
I have
the Obama administration do.
Visions
and then
of glory
neither the White House
and
nor the president
awesome
will comment further.
You know,
it sounds like an effort to kind of shut us down.
It is, and I would also point out that he didn't just tweet that. The White House put out an official statement from Sean Spicer saying that. Now, I think that was in part to preempt from the press asking questions about this. All week long
well,
briefings because he obviously wants to turn the page
by
and
the way,
they want to talk
way, good luck with that.
Right,
so
exactly. I'm sure all of those questions will come, but they obviously want to talk about repealing Obamacare,
yeah, totally
which is
right.
going to be on
and
the docket next week in some
kid,
fashion, and the new travel ban.
That,
right. Well, we often get
you know,
accused
went to a ruckus
of
soccer camp over at Adams Stadium and
scandal,
went to you know, Angus McAlpine's
soccer
camp.
Let me just play
for you, Katie,
an exchange on ABC's this week between one administration official
who
was out there today on the show, that is the Deputy Press Secretary Sarah Huckabee Sanders, and
Martha Bradley. One of the best nights of my
life. Let's look into this.
Like,
if this happened, if
this
is accurate,
it's something we've all waited for, and I just know that regardless of the result tonight, it's going
to
be a party.
Happen.
It's going to be
Facebook app, WhatsApp,
really,
is a very popular
really
chat
awesome.
App. More than a billion
so
users around the world
cool to just be
had
in that
a similar feature added.
And to see professional soccer in Atlanta, and I'm not sliding the Silverbacks when I say this, but, you know, this is the real deal. This is it. And they have gone above and beyond what we thought a team coming into the league could do. I mean, just look at Minnesota from the other night losing to Portland 5-1, and they're fielding a glorified NASL team.
Yeah, it didn't look good. Their entire back line looked suspect. The few moments the few highlights they had. Christian Ramirez scoring after, I think, at that point they were down 3-1, I want to say. It could have been 2-1. I'm not 100% sure. But, you know, he was the one highlight, the way he was able to turn the ball and just pick a spot and shoot. That's what we've seen out of him in an ASL. But overall, you're right. The entire team is just it's a really good NASL club. That's the kind of game I envisioned watching, in the later stages of the U.S. Open Cup.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't see that happening to Atlanta United. I'm not going to say they're going to be perfect, but I don't see that level of discrepancy between the two, you know, the drop off in talent and in the style of play between any team we play in MLS and Atlanta United is not going to be that drastic. It's not going to be about, you know, whether they're fast enough, whether they're technical enough or anything like that. It's just going to be a matter of chemistry for Atlanta United. With Minnesota, it's a complete lack of talent, in my opinion. And the fact that, you know, over the course of this past week, I've listened to Minnesota podcast talking about how they'll finish in a tougher league, in a tougher conference, they'll finish with more points than Atlanta United. That, to me,
yeah, that's
wake
ridiculous.
Up from your dream, man.
That's absurd. That
wake
is...
up from your dream. I have no idea how it's going to happen. If you want to get on and talk about how, what this day means to you, how excited you are, 713-955-0722. That's the phone number to get in and call. We'll take your calls to about 3:30, and we'll talk a little more about the New York Red Bulls. But again, 713-955-0722.
Yeah, and it's just so funny thinking that what Minnesota did and not signing any DPs. And Atlanta United not only signed DPs, and it was funny. I was chatting with Alexi Lalas about this last night. He was kind of saying, I was just asking him, did he ever expect a team like Atlanta to come in and just have the ability to sign all these players? And he said, and I asked him, you know, with the league the way it is, how did this happen? He's just like, well, yeah, Atlanta's done a very good job of skating that line and working things to the letter of the stipulations of MLS. I mean, they have literally gone probably as close as you can to maybe crossing over that line. I mean, they got Kenwin Jones and Chris McCann green cards.
Yeah, I don't know how that happened. That I it's almost like they're the LAs of the East. In terms of how they bent rules, and I'm almost willing to bet, not willing to bet, but I wouldn't be surprised if the league kind of looked away at some of the things that Atlanta United did. I have no idea what those things could be. I could be totally off, but just based off how things went with LA Galaxy in the past, I wouldn't be surprised if Atlanta United, skated past some of the rules or MLS just looked the other way, and maybe that's what's helped. I'm not saying Atlanta United did anything to cheat or anything like that.
No, that's not what
I'm saying. But if you know anything about the history of LA Galaxy and how they've bent the rules or they've had rules pretty much made for them, I got to think that something similar may have happened. Again, I have no information, but I just think maybe that could be the case, because even us at Dirty South Soccer, we're just like, how the hell are they doing this? How the hell are they not over the salary cap? How the hell are they keeping everyone within their range? How the hell how have they created this team with all the limitations that MLS puts on salary budgets and stuff like that, and still managed to come out with a fantastic expansion team? This might be one of the best expansion teams MLS has ever seen, and hopefully we see the fruit of all that work, culminate in a win tonight.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Again, as Eric said earlier, 713-955-0722 is the phone number. If you would like to wax poetic about Atlanta United and this being the day that they will kick off in MLS, and jumping to tonight's matchup, the Red Bulls coming off of a 2-0 loss in the CONCACAF Champions League to Vancouver, and I tell you what, they did not look great in this game, and it's going to be tough for them coming across country, adjusting to the time in a very short amount of time.
Yeah, they traveled all day Friday, and Saturday was the one day where they could kind of relax other than the time they have now to basically prep for tonight's match. I think the most interesting thing is, one, the formation that came out in, it was very much a 4-2-2-2, and the Whitecaps kind of took advantage of the wings. And one of the things that you noticed very early on was how dominant Vancouver was on the wings, getting the ball down the flanks and being able to work the attack through the wings. And you look at the talent Atlanta United has, and I'm sure they'll make adjustments. I'm sure they'll know exactly what Atlanta United has waiting for them. But you look at a guy like Vijalba, you look at a guy like, it could be Assad, it could be Martinez, whoever it ends up being. Those guys are fast. Not only are they fast, but they're technical. One of the other things I noticed is that this press that the Red Bulls like to utilize, it's everywhere on the field. And one thing that I noticed with Atlanta United is they don't hold on to the ball very long. And that's exactly what Vancouver did in their series against the Red Bulls, especially in that second leg. The triangle passes, the way they were able to move the ball quickly, really, really broke down that press. And I know, based off what we've seen in preseason, that Atlanta United has the technical ability to do exactly what Vancouver did, and I think they might be able to do it even better. You add the speed, you add a guy like Almiron who can really control that midfield, and who knows what happens. I got a sense that, especially if they're going to be attacking down the wings, Kenwin might get the start up top. And it might be let's see if we can't get a couple crosses in and let Kenwin head him home. before we try anything else to break this press, especially with a guy like Kenwin who from what we've seen, the little we've seen in preseason, has good hold up play. I think that might be huge. I think being able to hold up the ball and open up some space from some other players to take shots or just create space for them to play into, that's going to be huge. That all is going to fall into how Atlanta United beats the Red Bulls tonight.
Absolutely. I like the way you phrase that. And here's the thing. Both of these teams want to hit you with that high press, but Atlanta United is also a team that is designed to counter with that speed that they have on the flank. So if the Red Bulls try and hit that high press a little too much, then Atlanta United is going to make them pay.
I mean, look, if you look at the game last on Thursday for the Red Bulls, they had 73% of the possession. 73% and only got two shots on goal, which I'm not saying this team's going to be perfect defensively, but you got to think they're going to be able to sort of match what Vancouver was able to do, especially if the rest of the team is pressing like they have been during preseason. I got to think the big key is can Atlanta United score early? Can they get an early goal, within the first 5 minutes, like we've seen a couple times in preseason? Can Miguel Almirón really control that midfield? I have full faith that he'll be able to, especially now that Dax is gone, and Sasha is being asked to, I think, play more of a creator, and so he'll be much up the field. And that's not a big change, but at least back when you had Dax, it was you could push Sasha up the field a little more than you could maybe now. And so that is going to be huge. How well does, I think Sean Davis is his name. I forget if that is his name. Yeah. You gotta wonder how he'll react to everything, how he'll, enjoy the start of this season, against Atlanta United. And ultimately I just got to come down to how well Atlanta United can put passes together and just break this press. And I think they'll be able to do it, especially there's no way the Red Bulls can match the in my opinion, they can't match the intensity that Atlanta United is going to be able to bring, especially very early on. And if they can squeak out a goal, make it 1-0 within the first 5-10 minutes, momentum is all on Atlanta United's side at that point. You're going to have the crowd behind you, and you're just going to feel as those players on the field, you're just going to be able to feel that they're going to be able to do basically whatever they want, especially if they can get up early. It's not been a good start for the Red Bulls, and hopefully we can continue that. Luis Robles is a guy that's going to be tough to score on, but he is – you can score on him. It's not like he's not Tim Howard against Belgium. So we'll just see how it goes. I have full confidence in this team. I honestly think it's going to be something like 3-1.
Yeah,
in favor of Atlanta.
I would hope so. And one guy that I'm really looking forward to watching today is Chris McCann, and seeing just how well he kind of bosses the midfield, because he's that type of player, that holding midfielder that you need when you're a high-pressing team, because you have a guy that can kind of gum up the works a little bit for the other side. And if you're going to be constantly high-pressing, then, yeah, you need a player that isn't afraid to step into a challenge that will disrupt what the New York Red Bulls want to do and really – just stop them dead in their tracks. And a guy like that is extremely important. And so I'm very much looking forward to seeing him and how he plays and exactly what type of role he fits into with Tata Martino's system.
Yeah. I think his job is basically going to find Almirón, get the ball and find Almirón.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you can move up the field and join that attack, by all means. But I think his job number one, especially early on, is going to be get the ball, find Almirón. That's both for him and whoever starts next to him. I got to think it's going to be Lorenowitz. I don't think Carmona has played enough to warrant, especially in preseason. I don't think he's played enough to warrant the starting spot tonight. I think Lorenowitz, not only based off the fact that he started most of the preseason alongside McCann, but he is also historically known to just give the Red Bulls fits. And you got to think that Darren Eels, who has, I'm sure, talked to people across MLS and about a guy like Lorenowitz or what's really crippled the Red Bulls in the past, you got to think Bocanegra has done the same thing, and they both talked to Martino and told him this similar thing. If I don't see Lorenowitz starting, I'll be surprised at the fact that historically he has been able to cause fits for the Red Bulls. But it would make me wonder if they were, if that's part of the MLS knowledge that our front office doesn't have, is that those little insights. And I have no idea how he might play tonight, Larenowitz.
Mm-hmm.
But if historically he's been known to cause fits for Red Bulls, you got to think. You got to start him. In baseball, for example, if you know a right-handed hitter is so good against a specific pitcher, like say just Freddie Freeman, there's no way you take him out. Well, that's a bad example because you'd probably start Freddie Freeman anyway.
Well, that's true.
But you get what I'm saying. If there's a specific, you know, if there's a specific hitter who maybe is not all that great in the outfield or whatever the case may be, if there's a specific hitter that for some reason does so well, Chipper Jones against the Mets was incredible. You'd never give him a day off against the Mets.
No.
Of course, it's sort of like that.
With
Jeff Larenowitz, if he's been known to give the Red Bulls problems in the past, you've got to think he'll be starting tonight. And I fully expect McCann Larenowitz in that defensive midfielder role in those two positions there.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you. Again, if you want to get in here, we got about 10 more minutes. 713-955-0722. And it's here. It's great to talk about and you know, we've been doing this pretty much for the last few months, you know, once we figured out who Atlanta United was going to start with. But now is the time where you can talk and talk and talk, but game, match, whatever you want to call it, match day, game day is upon us. And I think that one of the things I'm also most excited about today, it's the TIFO, man. Like, I really want to see what the supporters groups put together for. They worked really hard on it, and you know,
we did talk last night about what the supporter section will look like, what they'll come out with, what they'll do when the players come out, you know, what the TIFO will look like. I tried so hard to get a tease just to see
just
to give me a sampling. Give me a sampling what it looks like. You know, I can only say so much to the people that follow us, and I would never do that to the supporters groups, because if you know anything about media, as soon as you blow that trust, you're never getting it back.
Absolutely.
So hopefully, I was hoping maybe they would. They didn't. But that's good, because as much as I wanted to see what they were thinking last night, I am that much more excited that I didn't see anything, and I'm going to be surprised tonight, and I'm hoping that we're all blown away. I'm hoping that the rest of MLS takes notice of what happens tonight, and hopefully we put on a good show to kind of show that Atlanta is here, and we're about to do some damage. I wouldn't mind, honestly, after tonight or after the next few weeks, if Atlanta became the bad guy of MLS.
I totally
and everyone and we became the Patriots of MLS, and everyone just hated us and wanted us to lose.
Yeah, that's totally fine with me. And I think when you're a fan of a team, you want that. You want to be the team that everybody is jealous of and that everybody hates. And if Atlanta United becomes that, that's only a good. That only means that their results are backing it up and causing that to happen. Yep. So I'm totally on board with that. And it's funny on TIFOs. I hope Atlantis is great, but I'll just tell you right now, I don't know if anybody's ever beating the one Portland had the other night.
Yeah, that was fantastic. Let's not set Bob Ross. for Atlanta fans, let's not set the bar so high so early.
Nobody's going to be Portland.
Right, exactly. Let's enjoy today. Remember this experience, because, again, I'm going to reiterate this over and over. This is going to be a highlight that I can come back to whenever I choose. It's going to be a highlight of my life. Watching the team come out, you know, watching the game just go. As soon as first kick happens, you mentioned last night, you might shed a tear.
Yeah, no, I'll tell
you
like that.
You might throw some dust in your eye just to cover up the fact that you'll be crying at first kick.
Yeah, I'm not crying. You're crying. But no, seriously, if you wanna get a little dusty in here, head over to DirtySouthSoccer.com right now and check out our guy Jason Smith, who I will be on post game with. Later on, Eric's going to be doing the digging for us, getting audio.
I'll try calling
like
and give you guys the 411 on what was said after the game.
That's
hopefully,
right.
Hopefully after a win.
That's right. Eric is going to get us audio and things that we can use on Mondays. Well, we'll record Monday. I guess we'll put it out late Monday night, early into Tuesday. But that'll be kind of our big, post first game show. But yeah, Jason and I tonight. I'll have a little something for you just with some immediate reaction.
10 p.m. tonight after the game. I assume it'll end around 9:30-ish. 10 p.m. tonight. If you're listening now, join us on the post-game show. Again, like Sam said, Jason and Sam on the post-game show, they'll be able to give you that instant reaction that you're not going to be able to get many other places outside of the TV broadcast. And if you're listening to 99 on the radio,
that's right. So, yeah, we'll have plenty of good stuff for you there. And I think that obviously tonight means a lot to so many people, but it's also, you know, the culmination of Arthur Blank again, just doing a great thing for the city of Atlanta. And that guy, you know, we call him Uncle Arthur for a reason, because he really is like everyone's favorite uncle for what he's done. I mean, what he's done for the Falcons, a franchise that, let's forget about the choke in the Super Bowl, but a team that was a laughingstock for the majority of their existence. And Arthur Blank's gotten them and turned them into a very competitive, top of the league type team. And there was never any doubt in my mind that he was going to do the same thing with Atlanta United. And it looks like we're well on our way to that.
I will say that if things don't go well tonight, if things don't go well for the first few weeks of the season, and I really don't foresee that happening, but if things don't go well for the first month or so, don't panic. Don't freak out. Listening to some of the audio from when the team was announced, from when you started realizing, okay, it's time to start putting players, signing players and seeing what this roster is going to look like. You heard Arthur Blank talk about how he wanted to compete from day one, how they're looking to win, as soon as they start.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't a 3-year plan. That's all great when said, and I, based off the efforts him and the front office have made throughout this offseason, I fully expect Atlanta United to be competitive day one. But we do have to understand that this is an expansion team. We have to, again, I'll put it this way. I fully expect Atlanta United to make the playoffs. If they don't make the playoffs, I will be disappointed, but I won't be disappointed to the point where it'll be like an understandably disappointed moment in my life, because I will understand that this is an expansion team. They had those chemistry issues to work out, and maybe next year they'll be even better and they'll be able to reload with different signings and such. I truly don't see that happening, but if they didn't make the playoffs, sure, I'd be disappointed. It wouldn't destroy my life, because I would understand what this team is going through and what they're trying to do. But again, I fully expect this team to be successful day one. I don't see how, based off the talent, based off the way they've been coached, based off their what we predict their style of play to be, or what we've seen their style of play to be, I just don't see this team not succeeding day one. They have a roster that, based off pure talent alone, is on par with some of the best across MLS. The only maybe suspect thing is the back line, but I think they're good enough. You're gonna get scored on in MLS. You're not gonna win records for the least amount of goals conceded, but you will be able to score bunches with this team, and I think that's going to take people by surprise across MLS. I think people are going to be upset that Atlanta is making it look so easy. I hope I'm not wrong. I hope I'm not jinxing anything, but that's the vision I have for this team right now.
Yeah, and I think that obviously it sounds like we're going into this with a lot of confidence, and that's because we are, because this team has been built in a way that we really haven't ever seen in MLS before. So the way that the players have come into the fold here, and the way that Tata Martino came into the fold, I mean, they are doing things big and bold. And for them to have just gotten so many great pieces already before they've even, played a game, and we're not even mentioning Brad Guzan, who comes into the fold a little later.
Yep.
So I am fully, fully ready to go here as we wrap up this edition of the Mouths of the South podcast. I just wanted to give you guys a little taste for a pregame show here. And again, as we mentioned earlier, myself and Jason Smith will be on in the postgame coming up at 10 o'clock tonight. We'll have your instant reaction to what is hopefully a triumphant and glorious debut in MLS for Atlanta United.
You want to give a prediction?
Yeah, I'll say 2-0.
2-0.
I think Atlanta United blanks them. Well, no, I think the Red Bulls probably score. I'll say 2-1.
All right. I think because of the speed, because of the fact that they did have to travel cross country and they did play a full game against Vancouver, because they look so susceptible in the wings and because that seems to be our strongest points is the wings. I think it might be something like 3-0, 3-1.
It could be a rout just because of the way Atlanta United is going to hit them and hit them hard.
Exactly. The speed and the way they press and just how good they looked against in preseason, the times they did press. Now, I'm not saying it went perfect in preseason, but just the way it looked and just the way – what I saw from New York wasn't impressive. They're mad they had to fly across country. They're not you know, going into this game with you know, with a lot of happiness, you know, they're not enjoying what's been going on in the last couple of weeks, especially the fans. You know, the players have to be tired and just, they want to go home. I'm sure you put that all together and I just don't see you add the, and then you include the atmosphere that Atlanta United's going to, or that the supporters are going to bring. You include how hyped the players are going to be, how loud it's going to be in that stadium, how beautiful it's going to look. Just everything about tonight just screams that it's in favor of Atlanta. I just don't see how Atlanta doesn't win tonight. And even if I'm wrong, it's still going to be an epic experience, a momentous day in Atlanta soccer history, and truly a highlight of my life when I look back on this day and first kick and the first goals and all that good stuff.
It's here, man. It is here. And, yeah, I when the national anthem's going and we're all standing up in the press box and, yeah, I'm going to be very interested to see what the reactions are to you know, kickoff. Because like I said, you know, this means a lot to me. It means a lot to you, and ready to go. Thank you guys so much for listening to us. We really appreciate it. Again, Jason Smith and I back after the game, 10 o'clock tonight, right here on the Mouths of the South podcast and DirtySouthSoccer.com. At Sam J. Franco, at Eric G. Quintana, at MOTS Podcast, and at Dirty South Sock. It's here, baby. ATL, ATL, let's go, let's go!